Now, the Lord has given Gail a word for tonight. And I just want to say a few words about Gail. Gail and I have known each other almost as long as I've known Mary Jo. Because when I came to Grace Church, then that's when I met Gail. But I don't think our friendship was really sealed, so to speak, until we celebrated the feasts. Mm-hmm. And at that time, we were staying over at the church. And I think that's when a friendship really started to come together and our spirits became, you know, we became real sisters in Christ. Mm-hmm. And one thing I've learned is that Gail is a tremendous teacher. That is a gifting that the Lord has blessed her with. So I am excited to hear what she has to share. And we'll just pray that our ears will be opened and our hearts will be open to receive. Thank you.
I thank you, Lord, to just pour out your grace, to let your grace overwhelm my heart with your thoughts, your heart, your words, to let them do the marvelous work that only you can do in each and every heart that hears. I give you praise and I give you glory in Jesus' name. The Lord has been dealing with me now for several weeks on some issues, and this one was the one that began to speak the strongest to me. I'm not going to give it any title, but it'll become apparent as I go along here. And I'm going to start with a scripture, 1 Peter 1. Verses 6 and 7. My Bible is amplified, so you'll hear a few more words than if you had a different Bible. You should be exceedingly glad on this account, though now for a little while you may be distressed by trials and suffer temptations, so that the genuineness of your faith may be tested. Your faith, which is infinitely more precious than the perishable gold, which is tested and purified by fire. This proving of your faith is intended to redound to your praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, is revealed. The key words in that scripture for what I am to share is the trials and the testing of the faith. Primarily, this is going to be in the area of relationships. This is an area that has been a very, very difficult challenge for me, and the Lord has been very gracious to guide me through. I'm not there, but to guide me through relationships and the difficulties that come with that. So the other scripture that I will be also, well, let's put it this way. The other scripture that will come into play with this is 2 Corinthians 10. 4 and 5. For the weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds. Inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God, and we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ. Many people are unable to function properly in God's purposes and calling for their lives because of the wounds, the hurts, and the offenses in their lives, which fit me very perfectly. It took the Lord a while to get through to me that that was a difficulty that was hindering me from moving forward. So I needed to come to the place where I could trust God, not my flesh, to protect me from offense, because that was an area that I easily fell to. Not knowing that, it took a while for the Lord to make that clear to me. I was very grateful that he did. And I have come to a place now where that trust is growing. All I can say is, if this fits you, be patient. It doesn't come easy. This is a difficult area. God will often place us in uncomfortable places and under increasing pressure.
Amen. Amen.
So that we can be shaped by his love and refining fire. He puts us there because it's like a crucible. And in that crucible, it's intended to mature us, to refine us, and strengthen us, not to destroy us, even though sometimes it feels that way. But that is his purpose. So should you, as I, be in those uncomfortable places, be aware that that's God's intent for what he is trying to accomplish in your lives. Offenses is one area which is very common in our fallen world. Let's face it, relationships are hard. Amen. I don't know about you. Relationships are hard. We're all different. We all come from different areas. And when we come up against that, and the more that person you are around or close to, that relationship can be very difficult and challenging. And that certainly fit me. So I have a question here. When you have been genuinely mistreated, do you have the right to be offended?
No. We are to take no offense.
No? Go ahead. Just think about that for a minute.
We are to take no offense.
Pardon?
It says we are to take no offense.
That's right.
Go ahead.
I don't know if I should say we it's okay to be offended. I think it's okay to feel it. I think what God wants us to do is what we do with it, how we handle it. Mm-hmm. But I mean, that's a true feeling. You can't mm-hmm. avoid that.
Right.
But I don't know that it's right to be offended. I don't know if that's the right term, but I think what he is concerned about is what we do with it.
Okay, we know that we all have an enemy. Now that enemy hopes that we will take the bait. That's his plan. His plan is obviously different from God's plan. His plan is that we take the bait, walk into the offense, and now he's got a foothold in our lives. And one of the people from God's word that we can think of that really had a right in our eyes, we think, was Joseph. Mm-hmm. If anybody had a right to really feel offended, it certainly was Joseph. But when all was done through those many, many years, and Joseph came face to face with his brothers, did he tell them what was wrong with them?
No.
The only thing he told them was what God had done. Mm-hmm. So he was able to work through the offense. I'm sure he must have had very difficult moments. I mean, you couldn't go through all that without those moments being very difficult. But the marvelous work that God did, he was able to tell them what God did and totally let it go. It's an amazing example for us that God has given us. There is another scripture in the Bible. It's Proverbs 6, and it's actually in verse 19. And it speaks of things that God hates. And one of the things that it mentions there is any sowing of discord or separation among brethren is an abomination to God. So in our process of our relationships, if anything is happening that causes discord or separation, God is making us clearly aware that this is an abomination to him. Something for us to clearly take note of, to be aware of and do something with. You have something you want to share?
Yes.
Yeah, please.
pertaining to that question that you asked, I thought about a scripture and I looked up in my concordance about angry. It says, be ye angry and sin not. Mm-hmm. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. That came to my,
good.
Mind and my spirit. Mm-hmm.
Not always easy, is it? Not always easy.
That's right.
Always easy. But God will certainly take it. One of the things that happened in my life is if I harbor an offense, it kind of gives me a feeling of false self-protection. I didn't know it was false. Self-protection. Mm-hmm. Because what it does, it keeps you from seeing your own flaws.
Correct.
You're too busy
focusing,
looking to blame that person. And in the process of that, you don't see what's underneath that protection in yourself. And so you don't face those things in yourself. You don't face that immaturity that's in you because you're looking at the faults of the other. That's a good thing for us to know that is taking place, and if we'll be aware of that. Another area that I'm kind of just taking these, just I'm not going to dwell a long time, only on one area am I going to dwell, and I'll get to that in a moment. I'm not dwelling unless somebody wants to add, because this is a very intense area, it could be a long message, but I don't believe that's what the Lord wants. When you hold on to an offense, it's like holding a debt against someone. Mm-hmm. Now, I went through this where I was in a situation where the person who was in charge really, I guess you could call an offense, but they really dropped the ball. And I had every right to be quite upset. And at the moment it happened, I did not confront the person. I just was not in a place where I was comfortable doing that. It took me a while before I did. I was forewarned before I went to speak to the person, do you want judgment or do you want mercy? Well, nobody had ever said that to me before. Well, what was the debt that I would be looking for if I went and confronted that person with what they really did wrong? It wasn't a little thing, it was a big thing. What would be the debt I would be looking for? Can anybody think what that might be?
An apology? Yeah. Them to you?
That was the debt I was looking for. I was looking to hear that person say, I am so sorry. Guess what? It didn't happen. It didn't happen. You know, that took a while for that to get through to me, that that's not God's ways, that I'd done what I was supposed to do. I was wronged by the other person. I stated my position, and that's the end of it as far as God's concerned. I have no right to ask for anything back, like I'm sorry. At that point, God's in charge. He takes over that person. He deals with the issue. It's not mine. It never was mine anyway, but even in that. That took a while. I don't know about any of you, but that took a while for me to really digest that, because I always felt I had a right to ask for I'm sorry. I had a right to hear I'm sorry. But in God's way of thinking, I do not. I do not. And that was a hard pill for me to swallow. I am now to the point where I can understand that. Now, the one area that I still am challenged with, and I even found myself over the weekend challenged in this area, is expectancy and expectations. Those expectations continue to trip me. So that seemed to be the area that the Lord wanted me to go a little bit heavier with. So we can choose to live with either choice. We can have expectancy, and we can have expectations. The choice is ours. But if we go with expectations, the root of expectations is control. When the Lord made me aware of that, I didn't like hearing that. But the more I thought on it, I saw it. Expectancy has a whole lot of possibilities to it. If I just let it go and put my expectancy in the Lord, all kinds of possibilities can enter in. But if I choose to go with the expectation route, and the closer the person is to you, the more this happens, you can get pretty specific. You look for certain things. You expect certain things, especially if that's a close relationship. I expect certain things. So that area can really trip you up, and it has tripped me up. Now, if you're in a relationship that's based purely on function, that could be like an employer or you as an employee, that all there is some function taking place. That's okay. Your expectations are there. For instance, the employer expects you to do a good job. You as the employee expect a paycheck. That's okay. That's just fine. But the problem that starts to happen is when our relationship is not purely a function one. It goes over into something different. And we also have a problem if we approach all our relationships on function, because when we do that, when there's function, and it doesn't make any difference what it is, the function automatically brings with it an expectation. And when we do that, we've set ourselves up for disappointment. And I don't know about you, but this has happened many times. Because if I come in with expectations and they are not met, what happens to me? I'm disappointed. In some fashion or another. Could be little, could be big, but the disappointment comes in. That word disappointment is very interesting. Disappointment can disappoint me from God's purpose. You got the connection? Yeah. So, yeah.
when you start becoming knowledgeable of the word and spiritual warfare.
Mm.
One of the biggest and easiest way for Satan to take your blessing from you is with disappointment, because when you're disappointed, when you allow disappointment to grow root, then you don't believe.
Yeah.
Because disappointment will bring unbelief.
Mm-hmm.
And if once you allow unbelief to come in with the disappointment, you just threw away your blessing.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
God made rules and laws, and this is the way it is, and he don't change. So it's something you got to be very careful with, because in the natural, whether it's your kid, whether it's somebody you believe in, whether it's in a business deal, or just in confiding in somebody, the odds of that person disappointing you is going to happen. I mean, it's just the laws of nature. That you will feel that sense of disappointment. If you don't, you're not alive. Mm-hmm. But you have to be very careful that you don't hold on to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and you'll be very quick to let it go, mm-hmm. and say, Lord, this is yours. Mm-hmm. Because that's a trick. That's a trick used by the enemy to steal from you. Mm-hmm. It's a backdoor trick. So that way you become disappointed. Now you don't trust. Mm-hmm. So now not trusting is not having faith. Mm-hmm. And not having faith is unbelief. So now if you don't, the word is very clear on the fact that if you believe, these mm-hmm. things mm-hmm. will happen to you. And even though it's like a curveball that's thrown that you sometimes don't even, it just catches you off guard and you don't see it as that.
Well, the other thought is there, Victor. What if we approached life and abandoned ourselves to just expectancy? No expectations. We make our decision. That's not easy. First to admit it. Just expectancy. We just let it go. Can disappointment get in there?
I think so.
No.
Disappointment can't get in there. You've just abandoned yourself to expectancy. Your expectancy's in God. You're expecting, so whatever happens, it's okay. And that disappointment can't come in and have a way in your heart. And as I stated at first, expectations are all about control. Mm-hmm. When we're expecting something, we are controlling in some fashion that person is going to do da, 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 or whatever it is that we expect. Mm-hmm. And if we can come to that place. One of the ways, obviously God's way to get us there, is to walk in love. So if I make a decision that whatever I am doing, wherever I am, if I give love, even if it doesn't come back, if I sow love, at some point I am going to reap love. So that gives me the place of, even if that person just doesn't come back, doesn't give it back, I can continue giving love because I know God will honor his word. Amen. And I'm going to reap a harvest of love.
If that falls right under the fact of forgiveness. It doesn't say forgive because they deserve it.
Right.
It's just like love.
Absolutely.
Love because God loves you. Forgive because, through Jesus, God forgave you. It's not about them. It's about who your creator is and the return that you would get from him by doing it. So, it says if you expect and you live for the acceptance or, what you can get from man, then you would get from them. count on the Lord, then you will get his reward.
Yeah, absolutely. Later. Absolutely. Our way, if we don't come to it with the Lord, is selfish love. Selfish love does get into expectations. That's our human nature that's going to do that. So if we continue our relationship with the Lord, letting his love rule in our hearts and use every opportunity that he puts in front of us to let his love rule, then we can come to a place. We can come to a place where those expectations will not get a place in us, where we will be walking free of disappointment, free of having any offenses or harm in our relationships, even though they may not be what God would like them to be. But he's having his way with us. Because when I require certain behaviors with certain people, the more I expect, the bigger the door is opened for offense. So the other side of the coin is true. The more I give love, the more I'm able to give love and work my way through with the Lord on giving love, the more that's going to come back to me. And eventually I think it will to the person, I would think, in your ability to forgive and just let it go and showing love, that eventually that person is going to receive and see something that they couldn't see before.
Love conquers all things. Love conquers all things.
Absolutely. Never fails. That was the area primarily that the Lord was speaking to my heart on. At that point, I'm just not going to belabor the point. I'm going to just let it go. Hopefully any one of those areas that I touched on will help you in your walk, give you some food for thought, and protect yourself from those areas.